This is Central Time. There's been a lot of news lately about conflict within the Republican Party between the mainstream establishment and the Tea Party movement. But lately, we've seen some conflict within the Democratic Party as well, especially with the troubled rollout of the Affordable Care Act.
Joining us now to talk about this is David Peterson, a professor of political science at Iowa State University. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, glad to be here.
I want to start out with talking about some of those divisions. You know, we've, of course, been hearing about the divisions in the Republican Party for some time. And in the last week or so, we've been hearing about some of these divisions within the Democratic Party, particularly with the rollout of Obamacare, the House vote taken recently, and so forth. My question to you is, have those divisions been there all along, or are they the result of things that have been happening more recently?
I think to a certain extent those divisions have been there. I mean, one of the things that we've seen is that the Republican majority has been unable to exploit them, that the focus with the government shutdown and with the debt ceiling, you know, that those were agenda items outside the control to a certain extent of the Republican majority, and those were issues that divided the Republicans. The Obamacare rollout and the failure of healthcare.gov has enabled congressional leaders on the Republican side to push issues and to push votes that are going to divide the Democrats. That's the norm in Congress. The majority party usually uses its majority status to seek issues where they're unified and the opponents are divided. And you know, the surprise has been the Republicans just haven't been able to do that in the House recently.
So let's talk about the divisions a little bit. When you talk about the Republicans, of course, people talk about the Tea Party. They talk about moderate Republicans. If we're talking about the Democratic Party, how are those lines divided?
It's less clear how they're divided. In part, there doesn't seem to be an organized label for the divisions. I mean, we used to talk about blue dog Democrats, but most of them have been voted out of office now. And so it's a little less obvious. Really what it is it's members of Congress who are facing the Democratic members of Congress who are facing more risky electoral circumstances in 2014. You know, we know that a vote for Obamacare and hurt Democrats in the 2010 election. And so what we're seeing some of the divisions now is that some of the Democrats are afraid that it might hurt them again in 2014.
And I read an article before I did this interview about some of those Democrats in these riskier areas, you know, seeing what's happening with healthcare.gov and the Obamacare rollout and all of that, are thinking about running for the hills right now. I think that was the phrase I read. And, you know, as you look at all of that, if they're running for the hill, are they running towards something or are they running away from something?
I think they're running away. I mean, they're running away from the implementation of the policy. To a certain extent, I think some of this is overblown because I don't think, you know, this is going to make a huge difference for incumbent members of Congress in 2014 right now. That, you know, in 12 months, I'm not sure a lot of voters are going to remember how they voted on some technical fix. You know, the votes that we're having now that are on some technical fix for a problem that or for a policy that clearly has had some problems. But, you know, oh, hopefully we'll get it figured out by, you know, the next 12 months.
And hopefully they will. But at this point, I think they're probably looking ahead to maybe a primary challenge, maybe something else happening and wondering, you know, politics sometimes tends to be short-sighted. Maybe they're just not looking that far ahead.
Oh, sure. No, members of Congress, you know, when they're seeking re-election, they're always risk-averse, which I don't think everyone sort of takes for granted. You know, you got to remember these, you know, we look at members of Congress, we look at their incumbency re-election rates, and we say, well, you know, why are they so afraid of losing, right? They win 90, 95% of the time. But we got to remember that most of these members of Congress got there by beating somebody, or they've all observed their friends and colleagues losing, and they don't want to be that guy next time around. And so they do play it safe throughout their time in Congress and think hard about these risky votes. I mean, the other thing to keep in mind about at least these most recent vote is it's largely symbolic. I mean, it's not going anywhere in the Senate. Obama wouldn't sign it. And so it's not like the votes that the Democrats made, those Democrats who voted along with the Republican majority. It's not like their votes were consequential in any policy way, right? It didn't change the outcome of that roll call vote. And even if it did, it wouldn't have changed policy in any meaningful way because the Senate and the president would have blocked it. And so they're free to vote in the ways that are the most electorally safe because they know it isn't the consequential vote, like, say, passage of the Obamacare was originally, right? That was a vote that was really consequential, and so it was more difficult for Democrats to balance the actual policy implications of their vote along with the electoral implications of their vote. This one was free.
But even so, as the White House takes a look at what happened in the last week or so with that vote, what has to happen in terms of Obamacare that will bring some of those Democrats back into the fold? What is the White House looking at?
Well, I think, first off, they need to fix the stupid webpage. I mean, at some point, you know, if the policy works better, the Democrats will be more willing to stand behind it, you know. And you know, this is a big, messy, complicated policy that has some strengths that people like, and it has some weaknesses that people don't like. And this is a moment where we're focusing on the things that we don't like. And in addition, we're finding a new thing we don't like, which is the implementation. And so, you know, if the implementation gets fixed, and if we get past the initial shock of people not being able to keep their health insurance, but instead we get to, you know, people who previously hadn't had health insurance getting coverage, if we get people, you know, some of the people who are going to get subsidies or going to get expanded care or going to get lower costs for their coverage, if that becomes the narrative, Obamacare is a more popular thing and the Democrats are going to stand behind it. They need to shift the narrative back to the things that people like.
We're talking with David Peterson, a political scientist at Iowa State University, about some of the recent tensions and divisions within the Democratic Party.
And we want to hear from you. Do you think there will be or should be a progressive candidate in the Democratic primary mix, and who should it be? Will the troubled rollout of the Affordable Care Act hurt Democrats in elections next year? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We continue our conversation now about some of the rifts that are appearing within the Democratic Party at the national level and maybe even on the state level. If you'd like to join in the discussion, we've got room for you. You're welcome to call in with your opinion or your question for our guest. Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Our guest this half hour is David Peterson. He is a professor of political science at Iowa State University. And David Peterson, no surprise, as we look at what's happening with President Obama's ratings, they are, they're not doing so well lately.
No, it's, we tend to see second-term presidents not do great, and it looks like Obama's approval has been mirroring the approval of George W. Bush during his second term.
And at the same time, he's got a lot in the line here, this signature piece of his, what could turn out to be his legacy as he's in the second term. He's got to be thinking about that. And as you see those numbers slip, does that give Democrats in the House or the Senate or anywhere else who might have stood by him more leeway to walk away, to run away, to distance themselves?
You know, I think members of Congress care most about what their specific constituents think. And the sort of national trends in presidential approval tell us something about what's the general trend within their districts. But members pay much closer attention to what their specific constituents think than approval. Approval, you know, helps presidents some, but it's, I think, generally overstated how much it actually influences or how much leverage it gives presidents with members of Congress.
So we could actually infer from that some of these Democrats who have voted for a different plan, you know, that the vote that was taken last week might be hearing from constituents on this, and their votes might be a reflection of that as opposed to some larger movement within the party.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, the presidential approval moves in tandem with the opinions of people across the country, right? It's a sort of aggregate of what we all think, and we tend to see similar movements within the districts. And so those members who are most fearful, those members who are most likely to face a strong challenge in 2014, particularly in the general election in 2014, are the ones who are the most responsive to these kinds of changes.
Now, as you look around the country, where are some of these districts that are going to be most kind of on the edge?
You know, a lot of them are the suburban districts. They're districts that are that have switched back and forth. There are districts that were close in 2012 between Obama and Romney. They're mixed. I mean, they're sort of all over.
800-642-1234 if you would like to join in the discussion. We're talking with David Peterson this half hour, professor of political science at Iowa State University, about the Democratic Party, what's happening with some Democrats in the wake of the Obamacare rollout. One of the questions I'd like to ask is kind of a hypothetical one. Let's say that the rollout of healthcare.gov went swimmingly. Let's say that everybody is happy with the way everything is working out, and we go back to that moment in the shutdown of the government and so forth. Would we even be having this discussion right now if that would have gone well?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the issue of, you know, people not being able to keep their insurance on whether or not Obama kept his promise on that would have been a relatively minor story, but it fit the broader narrative of the rollout issues. I think we'd still be focusing a lot more on the problems that the Republicans are facing than we would on what the Democrats are facing.
And the Republicans have to be happy about that, because all those issues that were there are still out there. They're just sort of being overshadowed right now by the Obamacare rollout.
Yeah, I mean, the Republican Party is divided, and it has issues. I mean, it hasn't had a good couple of years. It lost the presidential election. It lost the battle of public opinion over the shutdown. And the one thing that seems to unify that party is opposition to Obama, not surprisingly, right? I mean, that's usually what unifies opposition parties. And so the more they can focus on Obamacare and the problems that the president is having, the more unified the party will be in Congress. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to, you know, go swimmingly for them going into 2014 once we start getting into primary season, let alone once we get to 2016.
Yeah, I want to move ahead a little bit and talk a little bit in general terms about 2016. As we look ahead to a presidential primary on the Democratic side, we've heard about Hillary Clinton. I heard something about Senator Elizabeth Warren as being a possibility. Who else might be emerging as we get closer to 2016?
I mean, it coming from, you know, living in Iowa,
yeah.
You get a front row seat to a lot of this. I'd be surprised if Biden doesn't try one last time. You know, he's been a good soldier for Obama. He worked really hard in Iowa. We saw him here a lot, and he connected well with folks while in 2012 while he was campaigning for Obama. And this is his one last shot to run for president, and it'd be kind of hard to turn that down. We see Governor O'Malley of Maryland, his name float around. Governor Cuomo of New York. The one that everyone in Iowa mentions as the sort of dark horse, which I'd be a little surprised by, but gets mentioned, is Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, as a potential candidate as well. You know, at this point, it's early. I think it's pretty clear Hillary Clinton's most likely going to run, and if she does, I think it's pretty clear she's the front runner. But beyond that, it's pretty open.
It is early, as you say, but as you also say, you're in a state that weighs in early on these sorts of things. Do you have a sense of what's going to be important to Iowa in a Democratic primary? What are they going to be looking for in a candidate?
You know, at this point, I'm not quite sure. I think we have to see. It's going to depend upon how the rest of the Obama administration plays out. If the Obama administration is ending on a high note, right, if the economy rebounds, that's one thing. And then, you know, somebody can run. And I think both Biden and Clinton can sort of claim this mantle to a certain extent as Obama's successor, and they can run under that title. If the Obama administration doesn't turn things around, right, if approval is low, if the economy doesn't turn around, they're going to be looking for somebody not weighed down by Obama, right? They'll be looking for a new voice, you know, change we can believe in, well, something along those lines, in which case that'll hurt Biden. I think Hillary Clinton has enough of a political identity where she can sort of stand on her own and she can go either way. But in that case, that could open the door for somebody else a little more. You know, in Iowa, what really makes a difference is FaceTime with voters, of showing up and meeting people, right? Having a good organization, having resources, by which I don't really mean money, because money doesn't make a whole lot of difference, but having an organization and a staff that can get you to meet the right people, to be out talking to folks, showing up at the state fair, you know, doing those sort of retail politics things, that's what makes a real difference.
And that still matters in 2013, 2014, 2015.
Yeah. You know, it really does. We don't see, you know, we haven't seen as many Democrats coming through as we've seen Republicans coming through. You know, some of that is just the Republican establishment in the state has, you know, it still has the a lot of leftover from 2012, a lot of the lecture series or the fundraisers are left over, and so they can sort of slip right in. The Democrats haven't ratcheted up their fundraising quite as much. But yeah, you know, people are laying the groundwork. They're coming to Iowa. They're talking to the movers and shakers in the state, and they're doing the things that they need to do.
Well, David, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That was David Peterson. He is a professor of political science at Iowa State University.